Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Class dismissed. Those are words you either loved or hated to hear, depending on whether you liked the teaching and liked the teacher. I visited my son's classroom this past Friday for his final day of third grade. The students clearly were in that steady rhythm of learning, and they loved their teacher. But the calendar came to a close, and it was time to say goodbye to fellow classmates and to a caring and committed teacher. The students, including my son Jonathan, got to sit next to their beloved Mrs. Hammonds and hear an inspirational quote, especially picked for each student by their teacher, quotes from Martha Collins, Dr. Seuss, and supposedly St. Jerome, the famous church father who translated the Bible into Latin. However, I declare today that I will gladly pay someone $25 if they can find the following phrase in the works of St. Jerome. Good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. A reminder that everything you find on the internet is not true. Now, the consequences of that quote being misattributed to St. Jerome is quite low, so I resisted all urges to stand up and correct the teacher and make myself look like a pompous, educated scholar, which of course I'm not. But suffice it to say, in our world today, as in Jesus' day, and even before that, there is falsehood and error, some quite significant and consequential. In this world of things temporal, we need educated minds to solve problems and overcome erroneous ideas, to discover cures and develop medical procedures, to reduce opioid abuse, to protect our populace from terrorism and environmental decay and depletion. Oh, I'm sounding like a politician. To increase civility and reduce racism, to protect the innocent and prosecute the guilty. The education that we need comes from below, meaning hard work in the classroom and the think tanks. Discerning truth from error and learning from trial and error about what works best. But in the things eternal, things spiritual, we need something greater than minds working hard to hear below. How do we change hearts and minds to do good? How do we change hearts and minds to fear God and give Him glory? How do we live as God would have us to live? How do we die in His truth and love and be raised like His Son, our Savior, and live with the saints triumphant, where God Himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall they thirst anymore, nor there shall be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. For this goal, Jesus promises help from above, a guide who will guide us into all truth. He's called in our text today the Spirit of Truth, which we also know as the Holy Spirit. The Spirit ensures that Jesus' ministry will continue even after He departs to go to be with the Father, after His bodily resurrection and ascension into heaven. He who is at work in the Word that we heard today is hidden but present in our bodies and in our minds. The Spirit of Truth is a gift that Jesus has given to you. You can't test it in the lab or classify Him in the classroom. This gift of the Spirit of Truth is spiritual. It guides your spirit and your body to spiritual things. To like water, the waters of baptism. To wine, of the Lord's Supper. To the Word that you've heard. to the body under the bread and the wine that we receive today from his hand, the risen Lord Jesus' body, here on earth now, here truly present. When the word comes, you know also, just as Jesus had opposition, that the world also comes to allure you into false things. Self-made solutions, self-destructive habits. The Spirit of truth pulls you back to hear the word of forgiveness. Pulls you back into God's house weekly to hear about the victory of Christ's cross and his open tomb. To hear again of all that he's done for you, even given you this gift of the Holy Spirit to keep you in the faith, to remind you of his love and forgiveness and peace and presence in the ways he's put himself, hidden but present, until he comes again for all eyes to see. In this way, he gives hope for our broken bodies, one who died in our place and rose to show the way to the faith. The faith, it isn't truly in God. Class dismissed. Jesus, too, had to depart from his disciples. Time to end the training that he had begun, leaving them not with an inspirational quote, but with a promise, the gift from above, so that the teaching could continue for each of his disciples, even to us here today. My son and his classmates shed some wholesome tears on Friday as they said goodbye to Miss Hammonds, and a little bit of an hasta la vista to their brothers and sisters from different mothers. They had to let go and to learn that life will have a lot of those, letting go. Thank God then that the letting go of Jesus has a return promise attached to it. As he said in our text today, in a little while you will see me no longer, and then again in a little while you will see me. This letting go and let God come by his Spirit is a way that we live by faith in his great return until he fully comes for all eyes to see. And in the meantime, we live in that faith and invite others to that truth of which we know by the Spirit to be true. When we once again see God face to face along with classmates from another mother, that is Mother Church, together around his throne, for a little while we will not see him visibly, but again, in a little while, we will. Yet his Spirit is with us, as is his body and his blood, and his peace that surpasses all human understanding. And may that peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith by the Spirit of truth, by Jesus' presence among you today, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.